Welcome everybody to Cambridge Inside Out. We just almost had a little bit of a technical disaster entirely of my doing here. So my apologies for that. So anyway, welcome, Patrick.
Thank you, sir.
We actually missed the last time, you know, but, you know, we're here now. Just as a little sort of programming note, I'm actually getting a lot of requests now from various candidates who want to actually do a spot on Ooh. Cambridge Inside Out. And I'm not quite sure yet whether we'll do something live or we'll do some pre-records, but that's, there's a lot of people interested in doing it. So
Robert, because you're a candidate, I would make the recommendation, let me grill them.
You know, that's not a crazy idea. I can see maybe possibly doing that. So anyway, I thought maybe one thing to just to get started with here is just to say a few things related to the election. And yes, with the caveat that yes, indeed, I am a candidate as well. But I sort of try and do this in as impartial a way as possible, all things considered. Actually, let me, again, if you'll all bear with me a little bit on this one right here. What I wanted, okay, there we go. All right, so I'm just about ready to roll. Here we go. All right. So again, I'll just say straight away, as I mentioned earlier, just, you know, I'm switching being a candidate now as well as doing this and every other thing. And by the way, I'm still getting all sorts of contributions to the Cambridge candidate pages from many of the other candidates, you know, which actually doesn't take much time. So it's not really a backbreaker, but it is very weird actually wearing all these multiple hats. I definitely want to sort of say that as well, you know, up front. One thing I also wanted to say up front here is, even though it's a little bit of a ways off, soon enough in later, you know, later next month in October, we're actually going to have early voting, just like we had for the municipal elections 2 years ago, and as well as state elections and federal elections. So, so it'll just be 6 days, I believe it's 6 days or 7 days of early voting in late October, early November. So just to be aware of that. And again, just to make everybody aware, you know, I am still maintaining these Cambridge candidate pages. You'll see that there are, most of the candidates have supplied photographs now. You know, there are just a few standouts still, but I'm at least in touch with most of them. So
I would say the biggest standout, Robert, is Joe McGurk's hair. It's breathtaking.
You know, Joe,
I can't imagine how much conditioner it takes to achieve that, but God bless you, Joe McGurk, and you're gorgeous, flowing.
Joe didn't, I think he didn't like the picture he had from the last time around. So he sent in this one here, which I think is a lot more spectacular.
It's very Vidal Sassoon.
Yeah. And it, actually, several of the other candidates, you know, they started off one picture and they said, well, I don't like the way I look. So they, you know, sent in replacement photos. And I'm always happy to do that for any candidate. So I think for the city council, the only standouts so far are Doug Brown and Peter Hsu. And I think for the school committee, I have an older one of Richard Harding, but it's a good picture. So I don't think he's going to complain. And then we just have these three candidates who have yet to send photos, which is a little weird considering the fact that at least one of them is a pretty prominent candidate so far. But I think they're all three good candidates. Actually, all of them are good candidates, quite honestly. So so anyway, I don't want to blather on too much. Yeah,
that's an interesting thing, Robert. Like I find myself in a bit of a conundrum here. There are more candidates than just one person this year that I'm going to be voting for. And we actually have some good candidates running for city council for the first time, I think, since I've been here. I'm kind of shocked. And I say that present company excluded or included. I'm not sure how really? I'm handling that, but we've got some really good people. We've got some terrible people. We have some of the worst we've ever had.
You know, I'd say that 2 years ago, I was speaking with one of the incumbent city councilors who said, you know, I just happened to mention, I don't think I could, you know, I think there was something like 20 candidates running, and I think I could only get up to about five of them who I could stomach. And yeah. And that candidate, and then that incumbent counselor said to me, how'd you get that high? You know, so the difference between 2 years ago and this year is actually quite stark.
It's incredibly stark. I mean, you know how I think a little bit, but I mean, if you're a Zondervan adjacent or you're a DSA type, I got nothing for you. Don't vote for you. These people are probably the worst possible option. But I'm counting like just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's like 12 candidates I could vote for.
That's actually the number I got to, exactly 12.
12.
And I'll bet you it's the same 12, actually.
And like my politics are, I mean, people think I'm, the only Republican in Cambridge, but like I'm not a Republican, but I'm also like, I'd say right of center probably. But there are some people here who I absolutely don't agree with on a few things or a couple things, but I would still vote for them. Mark McGovern and I have always kind of knocked horns on issues, but I've always been generally supportive of them. But like I'm looking at the people who are running now and I'm like, dang. These are people who actually might agree with 90% of the time.
And it's interesting as a candidate. I almost want to say it's almost worth being a candidate just to sort of experience the process of being a candidate. It's a lesson in itself. When I was a candidate many years ago, I certainly learned a lot about how things are really work. What's interesting to me so far is the variation but amongst these various organizations that are offering endorsements and or a quote non-endorsement blessing for because of the purposes of what how you organize as either a 501c whatever the heck, right? All of that's just technical crap as far as I'm concerned. In fact, there's a lot of organizations now have been popping up a little bit, a lot of them are similar, a lot of them have some common membership, but they're actually all of them are coming from slightly different places,
The endorsement game to me was always a bit of a joke at the city council, local politic level. To my mind, just like the bicycle lobby, quote unquote, asking people to sign a pledge to essentially abdicate their power as a city councilor before they even show up. A lot of these groups, whether it be ABC, the frickin' DSA, which is just hot garbage, Cambridge Residents Alliance, are actually real neighborhood groups. I don't. I'm going for candidates who I think are the least endorsed. I'm hoping because I think the idea that, and what happens in every after every election, all these groups are like. I got all the CCC got 12 candidates elected. And you're like, well, there's only 9 seats. How's that possible? Or like, or the ABC is like, we got, all of our candidates were elected, which is all nonsense. So
Actually, I'll be very specific about that. Is that, though, I think it's undeniable that some of the slate mechanisms and spillover votes with the vote transfers, you can see it in the way the ballots work. That there, it is a factor. It's not like everybody in the city is just voting just for individuals, but I would say that most people are actually voting for individuals, primarily. And then they're just making decisions like, well, I like this person, I like this one a little bit more, a little bit less, whatever, regardless of any slates and whatever. But the slates are there, they're becoming important because they will sway hundreds and hundreds, maybe even a few thousand votes, to be sure.
Well, the slates to my mind were always a way to ensure like there's like the alpha of the pack, and then there was these bunch of feeder people who just were like lambs to the slaughter, bringing in a few votes to transfer to the ding dong that couldn't get a quota vote, and getting them in. That's the magic, quote unquote, or the I think that the tragedy of proportional representation. It just absolutely guarantees that one to two psychopaths always get on the council.
Well, that's the kind of the point of proportional representation.
Is
Not so much that we get psychopaths
that what
elected,
it says
mind
on
you.
its Wikipedia page? The
Well,
point of proportional representation?
I can reach in my vast library here and pull out a paper from Henry Richmond's
Guarantee
group
two psychopaths every
from
election.
the 1880s, really, basically talking about what proportional representation in any guise, whether it's as our single transferable vote method that we use here, with the Cincinnati method, or party list systems, which is what most democracies in the world use some form of proportional representation. It is America that's actually quite exceptional in that we like to we thrive on these single winner elections, where one person runs out of a single district. That's actually not the way the world goes around.
I have a musket for in my house for the King of England if he tries to get on my lawn, and now for you, Robert, with your European voting systems.
Most of Europe doesn't use our system. I think parts of Ireland do, and some places down around either New Zealand or Australia. But for the most part, they just use what they call either party lit systems or mixed member proportional. So you basically vote for parties. Like, I have to say, though, parties actually mean something in these other democracies. So you know, the party puts up a platform, you vote for the party principles, and you're entitled to then get, 67 seats in the legislature. And then you may help directly elect 45 of them. And then the rest of them are basically filled out from a list provided by the party.
We live in a weird time, Robert, where I think our party system has completely failed. And I think Republicans don't seem to stand for anything. And Democrats don't seem to stand for anything. And then you have this sort of like wedged in, so-called democratic socialist group, which I hate the fact that they've co-opted the word democratic, because like there's nothing democratic about them. But like, they all kind of stand for nothing. Like, I remember a few months ago, was it? The DSA kids kicked out their biggest political win in Mike Connolly and said, "Sorry, sir, you talked to other people, therefore no." I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about that group. But like on the national and local stage, they seem to be mirroring each other. And that's why I'm hopeful about this group of 12 people who, like, they have a moral compass. They're actually, most of them are pretty well educated, or have experience, Robert, and background. Like, oh my God, like, they actually know things. And they seem to be coming to the table with ideas instead of beliefs. And that to me that's a game changer.
Well, I'll say one thing is one of the more awkward moments that I have as a candidate is people want to just sort of come down and say, well, what's your platform? And they want you to be very specific about what your promises and such are. And I'm thinking to myself, in a way, you've already lost me when you were basically trying to get me to commit to promise you this and the moon, the stars and everything else under the sun, right? The fact of the matter is, I think that what most people really want in elected officials at any level is just good representation. People who actually listen, people who think, people who understand. Now, I'm not, this, by the way, this is not my election pitch, but I assure you. I think this is just what most people really want.
Robert, I'm going to tell you something that I'm doing it right now because I want other people to hear it. But like, you have been here for a long time. You have been providing a service to the city of Cambridge in your journal that honestly you should be paid for, because it rivals anything that the city has ever produced. A $1 billion city cannot produce the level of accuracy and even-handed just information delivery that you have been. Whether you win or lose, no one in this city can say that you are not for Cambridge, that you're not about this city, and that you're not a reasonable human being, because you are. Whether you wish to admit this or not, I know sometimes you want to be as pissed off as me, but like, that's just who you are. And I'm saying this not as a pitch, but like, you don't have. I feel like you worry very much about being even-handed here, and I'm telling you, brother, you don't. You've done the time. You've done your service.
Well, I agree with you completely, but one thing I've got to say, it is a curious thing when your candidate, who's basically put in a lot of time and never got a dime for anything, and just does things out of sort of a spirit of generosity. And you do that, and you do it for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, at least in my case. And then it's a very weird reality, though, that when you get an organization contacts you saying, well, we're looking for candidates to endorse or whatever. And then they start nailing you with some incredibly little bunch of minutia about narrow points on narrow agendas, as to say somehow because you don't align with the narrow agenda made up by these four people around somebody's kitchen on Ashburton Street, that somehow you're not worthy. it's a very perverse system.
I have to go back to the bicycle lobby, just because they're the only ones asking people to sign a pledge. And it always and they did this last election, and a lot of the current city council signed that pledge. But what I couldn't figure out at the time, and I don't mean this as I'm not for bicycle lanes, I'm not against them, but I like the pledge itself kind of meant to me that CDD, the Cambridge Community Development Department, was able to forge the world's most perfect ordinance in conjunction with the city council that was so perfect that it dare not be touched. That there is no way to look at it in a different angle or light or based on data that it produced to then suggest that it might need amending. That to my mind seemed offensive because I know CDD pretty well and they're terrible. The idea that they could even produce a C plus worthy document to my mind is folly.
Well, one of the things that little exercise I've been doing is sort of my role as candidate is sort of, doing voter identification, just identify who you're going to target and do all of this stuff. And I was looking at various people who, serving on city boards and whatever, and mining things for contact information as much as I possibly can. And one of the things, the conclusions I really had to come to is that if you had a point of view which in any way diverged from the party line within the community development department, you would not be working for the community development department. I don't think they're particularly tolerant of a diverse point of views. Yeah. There are a few key people in few key positions who are basically the gatekeepers, making sure that only the blessed could ever actually even work there. Well, and the same thing actually goes, I mean, I don't know to what degree the cycling safety ordinance was a brainchild of people in city staff, or whether it was all came from this bicycle, this, what's this called? Cambridge Bike Safety Group, and they just handed it to them and said, sign it. But I do know that, and I don't know that the Cambridge Bicycle Committee, which is an official city advisory board, really played a major role in it either. But I do know that if you have a point of view that diverges from that of the staff person who runs that committee, you'll never serve on the bicycle committee. So to me, there is a problem in democracy here, when in fact there were just a few key gatekeepers who were pretty much making sure that only people of the faith can actually be in a position to draft anything.
And I think that's where I've been missing the mark for so long in this city, where I was under the impression, because I was in Cambridge, because everyone around me was MIT and Harvard, and you guys are so incredibly smart, and that me being an outsider, listening, I didn't quite understand what was going on. But the more I've been here, the more work that I've done, and I've done a ton of stuff now, as you know, we have boxed ourselves into ideological corners and that we cannot escape from. And our city manager, our assistant city manager, the head of the Cambridge Community Development Department, they speak in such a language. I almost wonder if they've gone through like electroshock treatment, because they seem to get the fidgets when you suggest an alternative viewpoint. And it's like, when we live in such a polarized environment right now, where like, if you say that if you even say bike lane, and then after that sentence, if that you don't say awesome, you're against it, right? But that's obviously not true. But we live in an environment right now where like, there's no democracy of speech.
One of the, it's just the way my brain works. So now that I'm a candidate, I figure, okay, if I were to be elected, then things I say or do would be more consequential, perhaps, than they are now. So I say, okay, so I owe it to myself and others to really look at things much very carefully. It's very hard. I'm walking down every street now, and I'm looking at buildings, and I'm sort of thinking about, context and appropriateness and what works, what doesn't work, what should happen, what isn't happening. But I'm also, when I go down some of the corridors where there are some of the bicycle infrastructure has been put in, I'm looking at some of them, especially like the new one that they just put in on Hampshire Street. And I'm saying to myself, having seen large volumes of bicyclists there during certain hours, something should have been done. Whether this is exactly the right thing, I'm not going to say, but something should have been done. So I'm not going to be like universally critical of bicycle lanes. I'm not going to be. But then I go and I see some other treatments that were done in some other parts of the city, for example, on Garden Street. And I'm thinking, who made this up? I mean, these are not well designed. They're not sustainable. I mean, I keep seeing how many C-click fix requests have I seen for little white posts are lying in the street because they've been knocked down. Well, of course they're going to be knocked down. If you design a roadway in such a way that it is inevitable that vehicles are going to be clipping those posts, and not because they're being horribly careless, it's just because you've constrained things just a wee bit too much.
And then Sandy would come back and say, because the way the bicycle safety ordinance is written, they have to, by law, build bicycle lanes a certain way, which is why a few weeks ago at City Hall, they tried to get a few counselors to have an ounce of bravery to allow for some amendment. And of course, Zondervan cried foul and worked to block it. And our mayor, who is, I mean, just chicken little, decided also not to support it. But like, they were so afraid. Quentin doesn't care about the city, so he's just an anarchist. But like, Sumble's so afraid that she might lose, you know, one or two of her 5,000 votes that she's going to get if she just does something honest and transparent. This is like the core of my frustration in the city. Like, if you can't vote for the right thing because you're afraid you might not be a city council anymore, then you shouldn't be a city council.
You know, in my opinion, all 9 city councilors should be open-minded and willing to discuss the pros and cons of not only bicycle infrastructure, but any kind of infrastructure or any kind of policy. You know, and the notion that a pledge would somehow prevent you from even discussing it basically means you don't belong there. You really don't. I mean, there's plenty of advocacy organizations where you can thrive with a point of view like that. But that's not what an elected official is supposed to be doing.
And I think that's where the line has been muddied. We've decided that like political activists make for good politicians. And that has never been the case. And thus we're stuck with, as we mentioned earlier, in proportional representation, at least 2 psychopaths.
I think it's important to point out that when the architects of the Plany charter option came forward back in the 1930s, nobody ever suggested that proportional representation elections was going to be good for operational reasons. Its sole purpose was to provide representation, including political minority voices. And it had to be, and was, and is, and should forever be coupled with a stronger city manager form of government that basically says that if you have a manager who's really going to call a lot of the shots, so they listen to this cacophony of voices, which is by design, and somehow out of the madness, somehow distill the essence and then act accordingly as an executive. I mean, that's really what it's about. But to whatever degree things have been drifting toward legislative execution, you know, an example, the bicycle safety or cycling safety ordinance is a perfect example of a situation where what should have been a policy basically says, this is what our goals and aspirations for bicycle safety are, became an executable document that basically took away executive authority from the city manager and from the city department heads. To me, that should never have even been allowed to happen.
No. And I think that, to my mind, is where I was on the fence with our new city manager, but I'm no longer on the fence. I think we need a new city manager. And I think the council intentfully put a person in place who really just fundamentally altered the balance of power in the city. And now we have a council that really is at the wheel, and you've got at least 5 to 6 unstable, untried, inexperienced human beings directing the city in a bunch of different directions. And there's no steady hand on the wheel saying no, no, no. And here we are at $1 billion budget, Robert, $1 billion budget. And, you know, I can't think of all the things that are wrong with this city in one half hour sitting or 2 half hour sittings that are the cause of our inability to solve problems other than to throw more money at it. That's how you get to $1 billion budget in 6 square miles.
I think we're actually at an interesting point where again, I don't want to make too many predictions. I'm still doing some homework on this to really, you know, be able to make absolute conclusions on some of this. But, you know, the city budget has been growing rapidly, and it is largely been growing fast because the city manager and city managers prior are basically being very free to say yes to everything. Now, so far, we haven't sort of tipped the balance to the point where we're going to have to start feeling buyer's remorse and great regret. But I think we're actually getting closer to that point. The you know, if rate of inflation is somewhere, I think they brought it down to what, 3 or 4% now, but maybe, you know, the long-term inflation rate is really more like what, 2.5%. You know, so in a way, the city budget should be growing post that, plus a little bit because of population growth and more. But we're actually growing at a much higher rate than inflation or even the population growth. So we may come to regret this soon enough. And I do have some concerns about what that might translate into tax bills this season.
Most of our counselors, with the exception of maybe Paul Toner, who I've, you know, never heard the rest of them say, you know, can we afford this? You know, the question in my mind, I don't think the council realizes that right now we're living in 2022, right? From a fiscal point of view. And
by the way, we're gonna have to take a break in like 10 seconds here. So just
hold that thought. But that's, I think that to my mind is why there's some confusion.
Right. And in the election season, nobody's talking about this yet. So anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.